So I don't know that I agree that classical information can be read without causing change of state, because ultimately we implement it using, I mean, let's take a book, right? I cannot read it without light, and light does affect the material on the ink. So ultimately, if you read it enough times, gradually the ink will deteriorate because of the light, right? You are bombarding the ink with photons, and so ultimately it will deteriorate.
Are you saying that ultimately everything is quantum?
Well, as far as I know, ultimately everything is quantum,
okay.
Right? So this is really an abstraction. We really don't have such absolute quantum information that we copied infinitely many times, right? It's maybe a very large number of times, but not infinitely many times. And if, as a matter of fact, books do fall apart eventually, right?
I guess storage device, media, hard drives, they do eventually.
Actually, these are all deteriorate very fast, relatively speaking. Books hold for the longest, maybe stones for longer. But even that, we're measuring this in thousands of years at most.
Uh-huh. I guess what I was talking, the abstract level, or the way that we reason and the way that we develop certain algorithms or systems.
Well, what we really do is we basically reinforce information. So if we read, for example, from disk, right, this will deteriorate unless we have to rewrite it, essentially. So we pour energy into it to refresh it, but without refreshing, it does deteriorate. But what we create is a non-closed system where we put more and more energy into it. I mean, just think of DRAM as a classical thing, right, where it will deteriorate, but we refresh it.
Yes.
So I don't know why inconceivably we could do something similar to quantum, right? Refresh it somehow.
No, so it's fundamentally different when you're trying to measure a quantum system. So we had this alpha 0 plus beta 1. And, maybe I'll start by kind of paraphrasing what you're saying, that you can error correct. So classically you could read it and then, I don't know, have some sort of code or something and then make sure that next time the person, you know, next time I read it and then Sebastian reads it and that's good enough. So we know that what I get, he'll see, and I don't really care about the future. That does not happen in quantum. So even if it's a 2U system, if I read a qubit, so try to do a measurement, I don't extract the full alpha and beta, and actually I will get 0 with a certain probability and a 1 with a certain probability. Once I've done that, I give it maybe to somebody else, and actually by then the state will have collapsed. He will, if say I read a 0, he will read a 0 for sure. So he doesn't have that probability distribution that I used to have on the readout result.
So is the right statement is the classical information can be refreshed, and quantum cannot be refreshed?
Yeah, I think there might be some truth in that. Might be a nice way of seeing it. Yeah, it's possible to return to the initial state of the classical system. It's not possible to return to the initial state of the quantum system.
Any other question?
Yes. I don't need a mic, actually. I need a voice. So can you elaborate a bit more on the composition of protocols? So why is that such an issue? So you mentioned it on the previous slide, and I didn't really get the essence of your message here.
Okay, so yes, let me maybe go into more detail. As Moshe pointed out, so bit commitment is a fundamental building block. Given bit commitment, we can do all sorts of interesting things, including this secure two-party computation, these zero-knowledge proofs that I mentioned. So people are interested in building on bit commitment. So somebody comes out with a way to implement bit commitment, then everybody takes it and builds on top of it. And building on top of it is another way of saying composition. They take the smaller protocol and they do some other layers around it. How do you know that the smaller protocol is still secure even if you're adding these extra layers around it? Well, there's some formalisms to deal with this. But my point was that, or actually the point I should give credit to the authors, I'm not an author of this paper. The point of this paper is that we need to be very careful in the way that we argue security when it comes to composing protocols, because the no communication assumption is too weak. We need to talk about isolation. And when we talk about isolation, then you need to make sure that the larger protocol enforces the isolation criteria.
I mean, the simplest kind of example is just put this box in the outer protocol.
Yeah. The question is, has the effect of the non-local box been studied in the context of universal composability?
I mean, if a third party can play the role of a non-local box, then probably in the universal composability framework, which assumes that the third party and this third party can read or write or send to anyone, can also act as a non-local box.
I'm not aware of, so I know about universal composability in the, I'm not aware of any scenario where the, short answer is I don't know, because I don't know very much about the security definitions in when there's two parties that are isolated. So most of the time I've been kind of looking at protocols where they actually communicate. And my guess, though, is that nobody has looked at this because this is a 2011 paper. So I don't think that the message has kind of reached there that we've done that type of research yet.
Any party, any third party can do the role of a non-local box in general? Or does he need some sort of extra power of quantum processing? Means that the classical third party can play the role of...
Yes, the classical third party could play the role of a non-local box. They receive an input, they compute the parity, the end of the inputs, and they compute a random bit, and then the second one they compute according to the parity, and then they return that. Yes.
So the 98 paper that uses this building block.
Yes.
Is the proof just deficient? I mean, what they prove correct, or is it just a deficiency of the proof, or we don't know?
That paper would be incomplete because they base the assumption.
They have to prove also they're not creating correlation.
They have to prove that they don't have access to other correlations.
Well, there are two things. One is they have to assume that they have no access to a correlation box, but also have to prove that the outer protocol does not create correlation.
So they have to prove that their construction, which is quite involved.
Does not create correlation.
Yes.
And
yes.
You have to assume that there's no access to another box.
Yes. Yes.
I suspect that the construction does not create correlation, but if it does, the theorem is incorrect, right? But I suspect that if we really examine, they are not creating correlation. And all that's missing there is the assumption there's no access to a non-local box.
Yes, I've been meaning to sit down and read that protocol and double check.
Is there another question?
No, it's okay. I can hear that. Just wanted to know, right now, in all the examples you gave us, you showed us that non-local boxes in all this quantum magic stuff was used between collaborative parties. But have you ever thought about someone that was used this intrication or things in order to monitor someone else? You know, in a certain way, I would see when some people, like you said, observe something and notice the change of state in this person that would know instantly. And then I would be able to spy or by changing locally the entangled particle to induce something on this victim. Said they would not collaborate with in this case.
So you're asking about other, I think, about other contexts where the entanglement or non-local boxes could be used in cryptography. And I'm not sure if you're asking about reinforcing honest behavior or...
No, this would be, for instance, well, by observing, I guess that you're saying that you're doing an operation, physical or an operation in a particle. When you say observing, you know, there is a physics stuff that happens. And then you define the state, you make the state certain, correct? So what I could do is that I entangle two particles, I get one in one place, and then I give the other one to my enemy. And I'm waiting for this person, you know, to observe it. Observing it, being influenced states according to something I said. It goes through a door, and there's observation in a certain way. So I know when this person goes through the door.
Ah, I think the scenario you're suggesting would imply communication. If you give the system to this guy and, you know, put a detector or whatever, he passes through a door, it should give you a signal. That's impossible.
This would not be a signal. I don't know.
I think it is a signal.
Okay.
So entanglement and even non-local boxes will not allow instantaneous communication in that way. But there's some very interesting application that that you remind me of by your question is... more in the scenario of detecting dishonest behavior, or also using untrusted devices. So the quantum information has the property that if I give it to you and then ask you to give it back to me, I can check whether it's been modified or not. And modification here has a very general sense. It also means measuring. So if you try to measure it, I will be able to detect it. And that's extremely powerful in security, so that's that concept is what they use also in quantum key distribution in order to kind of enforce or at least detect if somebody is misbehaving in the protocol.
Like in detecting tampering, for instance.
Yes.
So any other question?
I have a bonus feature, but I don't know if you're interested.
Sorry. I was just thinking, in general, it can be quite difficult to enforce non-communication unless you're talking about very short time periods, in which case you can use relativity. Mm. So I was sort of wondering if there was sort of anything in the wild that actually relied on non-communication of participants.
Did you say in the wild?
Yes, like any actual, anything we use today.
Yeah, I think enforcing no communication is difficult, and then it kind of depends on your model. So do you believe that if you put participants in Faraday cages that indeed there's no radiation that can escape or whatnot, and then it kind of depends on your beliefs. Right now there's some experiments where they do enforce no communication using relativity, as you mentioned. You need to have some fast response times, et cetera. And definitely if you have a commit phase and a reveal phase, then there's no way that you can use relativity to enforce that. I don't know if that satisfies your curiosity.
Okay. Okay, any other question? So I have a question because you show a few non-local games. And you show that if you try to use this game to build a cryptographic protocol like Magic Square, and there is problem. But if you choose a game where the quantum entanglement doesn't give you a full success probability, mm-hmm. can you try to build a crypto system out of that? That would be interesting.
Yeah. So an example that I didn't show, but that's relevant to answer your question, is that the first bit commitment scheme that I showed you for the two parties, it can be broken by the non-local box. If you relax it to have some sort of probabilistic nature, like I think, I don't know, 85% or 3/4 of the bits have to be correct, but there are the other ones, it's okay if you make mistakes, then you get much closer to the case where shared entanglement has this advantage over only classical participants. So this 85% using entanglement versus 75% using classical, and then you will achieve a crypto system that you think is secure classically, but it's completely broken using entanglement. So I think pretty much every scheme that every scheme that can be broken by a non-local box can probably be made just a little probabilistic in order to be able to be broken by entanglement only. Does that answer your question?
Not really. Yeah. So if you take a game where the success probability of the entanglement is really small, I mean, like the gap between classical and quantum is small. I think there is such game.
Oh.
Can you use that to make a crypto system? Because you, I mean, suppose that you allow adversary to share an entanglement, but want some kind of cryptographic techniques which is secure against this adversary.
So you just have an epsilon advantage of entanglement? I don't know.
Because like the Magic Square was using this game, which for people in the room may seem like a kind of cooperative games, but you might want to use that to build cryptographic procedures that, in the case where the entanglement doesn't give you full success, maybe you hope to achieve security against quantum adversaries. So. I was just curious if people have tried to take this ACT scrub game, which sometimes has some kind of curious artificial structure, and to make out of that like a cryptographic scheme that would be secure.
That would be secure. Oh, okay, the example I gave you was not secure. I don't know. The example we saw was an example. So the first one, it's secure against entanglement. It's not secure against non-local boxes.
Okay, any other question? Otherwise, I think we can thank the speaker again.